Hello, hello. My name is Matt. I'm coming at you from South Africa, care of Meanberm and Creative Spark. I have been thinking a lot about interfaces, particularly how interfaces evolve. WordPress has basically had four major iterations of its interface in the past 10 years, and there is a plugin that you shouldn't check out called MP6. Don't tell your friends about it. But it has some experiments on what a next generation WordPress interface could look like, worked on by some very cool people, including Matt Thomas, Yon, Mel, Ben Dunkel, Isaac, myself, all the some of the names you know. It's been described as flattening, but that would be a two-dimensional way to look at the project. I think of it much more as a streamlining than anything else. So, as I said before, I'm Matt Mullenweg, and the Dragcast starts now.
Holy cow! Welcome, folks, on a special edition here brought to you by Matt Mullenweg, the co-founder of WordPress, founder of Automattic. Matt, welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us today.
Really, my pleasure.
All right, this is going to be an exciting episode, folks. We went ahead and got rid of episode 006 in lieu of having Matt here today. So it is officially episode 007, 007 with Matt. Now, man, I'm really excited. This is a huge treat for us. Brad, how the heck are you, bud?
I'm awesome, man. How you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. I don't
So
think anybody listened.
since this is 007, does that mean Matt officially got rid of 006? I mean, I don't want to speculate. I don't want to start any rumors or drama press, but it's suspect.
You say drama press? That's hilarious.
Drama press. It's the unofficial hashtag of drama in WordPress.
All right. Well, hey, let's get right into it. We have a small segment, and I don't know if you got a nice cold frosty beverage in front of you there, Matt, but what you guys sipping on? I got a because I'm with one of the most interesting men in the world, Dos Equis. So that's what I'm rocking today.
I am drinking a grub soda. And Matt, if you're not familiar, it's grape vodka and club soda, my own concoction. It's delicious.
The bars just closed here in South Africa, so I have a still H2O.
That's right. What time is it? So is it 2 in the morning local there?
It's actually 2 in the morning.
Wow.
And
Well.
like I said, I have to say thank you again to Creative Spark, and particularly Michelle, who woke up in the middle of the night to elect me in their office. This is apparently the area, the place with the most bandwidth in all of South Africa.
Wow,
Just for you
that's
guys.
awesome.
Well, you're coming through wonderful here, so if you run into any challenges, let us know. Folks, the Dragcast 007 is brought to you today by Gravity Form. So let's get into the sponsor segment here, and we'll move right into interview with Matt Mullenweg. Gravity Forms is one of the key players in the form space when it comes to WordPress. Contact forms for WordPress just don't get any easier. They power about 500,000 websites today with some cool features like visual form editors, multi-page forms, order forms, and conditional fields. Go check them out at gravityforms.com. All right, so the Dragcast here with Matt Mullenweg. And so co-founder of WordPress. It's been around a little while now, so we're reaching, what, 10 years here? End of May, Matt?
It'll be 10 years on May 27th, which is about exactly 2 months.
I can't believe it. I came on board and found WordPress in 2004, created my first theme by the end of 2005, and I'm truly grateful for that. What changes have come over the last 10 years? Crazy to see.
And there's actually another anniversary we're celebrating today, actually, already here since it's past midnight. Automattic started exactly 8 years ago. It was incorporated on
Wow.
March 28th, 2005.
Congrats.
That's wow, 8 years. I look forward to when I get there with my own organization. Very cool. Congratulations on that. Well,
It'll happen.
I hope so. I hope so. We're trying to head that route. And I see you. You know, what was it? Some robots we saw in the new automatic space here. I saw an automated video of some robots running around.
Yeah. So it's this called Double Robotics, and it's a cool thing. They hook up like an iPad to like a Segway like deal, and you can log in and drive around the office and talk to people and look around and harass people. It's kind of the future. In the future, we'll just have some nondescript warehouse somewhere full of these robots, and we're all just SSHing.
So we don't actually have to have direct conversations with people. We can just send our little robot in and talk remotely. I like it.
Well, can't talk on its own yet. So currently you have to power it. So you would have to be actually talking to folks.
That is pretty cool, though. That's neat.
I thought about sending a robot instead of me today, but...
That could have been interesting.
I can't wait till the first Matt robot shows up at a WordCamp. Maybe that'll happen at WordCamp Philly. That would be pretty awesome.
Until we have teleportation, that would be so much easier.
Would be really cool.
Well, in fact, that's one of the questions that came up around when we were kind of discussing where we were going to start in terms of an interview. And one of the things we really want to touch on is being Matt. I mean, you're the face of WordPress. And we'll get into, you know, how that feels, how it's kind of built, what your expectations were early on, and have they surpassed anything you could ever imagine. But what's it like being a celebrity at a WordCamp? Because I know you walk in and there's this air around you, Matt, and oh my gosh, and everybody's staring, and it goes bonkers. What is that feeling like? I mean, have you ever had the thought of maybe wearing a disguise at a WordCamp?
It was actually great when I first grew out the hair and the beard, because I could go to people just wouldn't recognize me, and I'd talk to people and they'd be like, "Oh, I hear this Matt guy's, watch out for him, he's a jerk." I guess probably the best word to describe it is surreal. I mean, it's totally surreal.
Did you ever, in your wildest dreams, imagine that? I mean, everyone, when they start a project, they, you know, we always hope that it's going to be as successful as anything out there. But, I mean, in your wildest dreams, did you ever think WordPress would be as successful as it is today?
Yes. But not as I imagine it being much more successful than it is today, which is why we're still working at it, right?
And we're heading that direction, right? So that usage percentage goes up every year.
Yeah. In terms of being stopped, I always expected that would be for my saxophone skills, but it turns out I'm way better at business and software than saxophone.
Well, have you heard us rapping or singing? I mean, we should get you on rocking some saxophone as we're rapping one day. I don't know. Ratings might drop.
I'm not much of a rapper.
Oh, here we go. See, now you're on the air and you're holding back.
I actually play saxophone. Well, I used to, so I'll be on Matt's side. You can rap.
Oh, nice. Man, well, we could do the hook for that thrift store, Sean.
Yeah, there you go. Macklemore. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So I check out your Twitter profile and a couple other places, and it says location on a plane. I do a bit of traveling myself, but I don't know quite as much as you. Along with the amazing places and people you get to experience, I mean, how does that feel? Is it like overwhelming, exhausting? Because you just seem to be traveling a considerable amount.
Yeah, sometimes I wake up and I'm not sure where I am. It can take a minute to process. But overall, I mean, at this point in my life, there's nothing, you know, I don't really have any like kids or anything like that would keep me in one place. I love traveling. You know, I do it by choice. It's not forced.
Sure.
And more than anything, I love meeting WordPress users all over the world. Every time I go someplace, like there was a great WordPress meetup on Tuesday night here in South Africa. And, you know, I came home with like 24 notes of things to think about, ideas for different products, complaints people had. And that all filters into the organization and into the software. Earlier tonight, I had drinks with 80 from Roof Themes. I mean, it's just WordPress is a...
I'm surprised you're global... standing after drinks with 80, to be honest.
Well, you should see him, right? It's such a global community, and that's what makes it, part of what makes it fun to me. And honestly, the most humbling thing, to just go, you know, to the tip of Africa and be able to meet WordPress users and hear their stories.
Very cool, very cool. So let's switch gears a little bit, and I want to
tell you
talk
a South Africa WordPress story real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we should probably put this in the notes or link to it, because otherwise it's not believable. apparently, someone sold a WordPress site to the government here in Africa. They bought a $49 theme and put it on the website and sold it for the equivalent of about, I think it's 140 million rand, which is, you know, call it $15 million.
You know, we talked about it. I don't know if it's that same story, Dre, or a different one, but we talked about one similar to that where, someone bought kind of a stock theme, made a few modifications, but nothing crazy, and, sold it for a ridiculous amount of money to a government. That's bad, I guess.
I want to hire that guy.
Well, I feel like it's bad, but then from the business perspective, it's like, don't get me wrong, I'm not out there trying to screw people by just buying a theme and putting their logo on it and selling it for a ton of money, but it's, you got to kind of wonder the people that he was working with on that side. It's obviously a bad
thing. Well, the guy's converting, so from a sales perspective, I'd be interested in speaking with him as well, but when you think of the stigma that comes with that and the association with WordPress on a sale of that nature, I mean, do you think that there's maybe a negative context associated to that?
No, it's actually the exact opposite. So I met with an entrepreneur who works with Mixit, and they do a ton of training. And apparently he said they've trained over people to create over 10,000 WordPress sites already. So they go into townships and things. Wow. And he said after that story came out, demand went through the roof for WordPress training. Because people were like, oh, I learned WordPress. I can sell it for $1 million.
Wow. Yeah, that's I wouldn't mind a few clients like that, but we like to provide quality products and make sure people are getting what they pay for. So we give them a lot more than a stock theme.
When you think about it, sometimes WordPress replaces proprietary CMSs that might cost millions of dollars.
This is true.
And so we're actually, the software, its value, I think, is incredibly high. Just because the price is low doesn't mean that the value isn't high.
Oh, and there's lots of companies that
it's worth, maybe not.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies or big corporations that they feel like if the price is too low, then it must be junk. Like it's immediately discounted. If they're not paying $1 million for something, they don't want to talk to you about it because they think, well, it must not work, right? Because it's so cheap. It's we're used to paying so much money, we can't spend, this minimal amount. But I think a lot of these big media companies, and Matt, I'm sure you've seen this on the VIP side of things, they're starting to figure it out. Because there's some really big media companies running WordPress very successfully, spending a fraction of what they used to pay and basically dumping all their money and getting the sites off the old proprietary system onto WordPress because it's so easy to use and so much more inexpensive than this old, these old custom systems they've been using.
Oh,
and you guys have been helping out with that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, VIP is the way to go. So yeah, I would like to talk about plugins a little bit, and I'm a plugin guy, and Dre, I like to joke, he's on the theme design side of things, but I'm a plugin guy, I like zeros and ones, I like code. And as a plugin guy, I've always felt, and I feel like a lot of people that develop plugins in the community feel that plugins, premium plugins, let's get that out of the way, I want to talk premium plugins versus premium themes.
Aww.
Your favorite topic, I know, but I always felt like there's a little bit of a difference in the way they're treated. And I'm going to come out and say, hey, why isn't every premium plugin available on .org? Because you get that question a lot. But I'm just curious, is there a different mindset, when you look at a premium theme versus a premium plugin? And do you think there's a space for premium plugins, in the WordPress community as a whole?
Yes. I mean, obviously, premium plugins are a huge part of the WordPress community already. They even sponsored this fine show.
Very true.
We wouldn't be here today.
Brought to you by Gravity Forms.
Thank you, Gravity Forms. I guess the second part of your question was, why aren't they all on WordPress.org?
Well, I mean, I didn't want to come out. Okay, that's my question then. Why it's not so much on WordPress.org, but I feel like there's really nothing in the WordPress.org side of things that even mentions the fact that they are out there and they're a very high quality option. You spend $50 for something that really should probably cost $500 or $1,000, and you get an amazing set of tools and functionality that works really, really well. You get premium support. You get a good. A lot of these premium plugins, just like themes, have very large communities of people using them. It just feels like, to me, and a lot of plugin developers, there's not really support on the .org side of things. And it's been for a while now, so I'm wondering if there's had been any discussions on back channels or ideas on how maybe that tide could change a little bit, or how the premium plugin authors could kind of get more support to kind of get their names and products out there.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that I think is reexamined at least once a year, if not more, because conditions change and things that were true a few years ago might not be true today. My current feeling is, though, I mean, WordPress.org is really a place for people to go and get amazing free functionality and designs. Like, and it's designed for hosting open source code, for collaboration, for all the things that made WordPress great. And exactly what you just said, paying $50 for a plugin, I mean, what is WordPress worth? We kind of just covered that, right? I think it's worth millions of dollars. And we give it away for free on the site. So primarily, we promote and want to encourage the development of things that extend the functionality of WordPress in a way that's sort of as easy and simple to one-click install and use as WordPress itself. I'm tempered also by some of the communities that have embraced premium plugins and just the negative things that happen there, particularly Joomla, I think, is an interesting case. What sort of happened when they created on their open source site marketplace for these premium things, developers stopped collaborating with each other. So you have a members plugin, I have a members plugin. Today, if they're both open source, we might contribute patches or combine our efforts or something. But you might be making 20K from yours, I might be making 25K from mine, or 50K work together, right? We're not going to collaborate. And you can see that. Premium plugins authors don't really collaborate with other open source developers or other premium folks. It encourages a much more siloed method of development. I feel like you want to jump in there, Jay.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of thinking through that because I think the decision was made early on to not maybe mimic what they were doing in the Joomla environment. I remember early on saying, hearing and understanding that, well, a marketplace maybe doesn't make sense. And after seeing kind of the two paths that both projects led, it's apparent which was maybe a better decision. But I think this talks to some of maybe the visibility given to some of the premium or commercial capabilities out there that are using WordPress or that are built to extend WordPress. It would be exciting maybe to see that embraced at the .org level to maybe show people that there are some opportunities out there, or there are functionalities that maybe cost, because I think that it's safe to say that there is a cost around those things, or that there should be a value provided or a value given to those things. And I think that could help.
Well, you have to look at what happened second with Joomla. So first, developers stopped working together and it became a lot more siloed and balkanized. Second, users started complaining because trivial functionality that probably should have been in core or in a free plugin started to be charged for, because they had this app store. So users would sign up and they'd be like, they feel nickel and dimed because every stupid little feature was another thing. And then core development suffered because developers weren't really interested in necessarily improving the core software as much as growing their little slice of the pie. What happened ultimately is that the pie started shrinking, right? And a lot of those businesses, essentially, it was a tragedy of the commons. It's just like the idea you had a field. Everyone brought their sort of animals to graze on the field, overgrazed it, and then there was nothing for anyone left. So, I mean, that's the worry. And I haven't really seen a good proposal that would have plugins, premium plugins. And we should distinguish that from commercial, because there's actually thousands of commercial plugins on the .org directory today. There's Google plugins, there's automatic plugins, there's security plugins. I mean, there's tons of stuff out there. So we're specifically saying plugins that you need to pay to even download and use. A way to integrate those without some of these negative side effects that typically happen when you have those sort of incentives in the community. And again, I don't think there's only a few right now. I mean, there's like three or four big ones. So not a big deal now. But I like to think, if we set this up, what does it look like 5, 10, 15 years from now?
So in contrast to let's say on the homepage, adding something like an all GPL theme marketplace, and I think that that's more where I'm heading in terms of saying, hey, there are some great marketplaces or great tools out there that are plugin-based, premium plugin-based. Here they are. I mean, how do those type of things get featured? Right now, obviously, that's not something that's happening. But food for thought, I think that's kind of the direction. I think that there are commonalities, although there are differences, there are commonalities in extending WordPress, whether it's a theme or a plugin.
To me, themes and plugins are completely different. So I'm actually super pro premium theme, as you could tell. I mean, we have a link in one on the homepage.
No way.
From a user point of view, it's very different, right? You only use one theme at a time on your site.
This is true.
And it defines your entire web presence. Like, it's people often associate more with their theme than they do with WordPress itself. You're not going to feel nickel and dime because you're just buying one of them. And the value is not in the ubiquity. The value of a theme is in its scarcity. So charging for it actually makes it more valuable. Where charging for functionality or code, in my opinion, makes it less valuable because it's less likely to get the community aspects that's made WordPress so powerful thus far.
So that said, I want to know what your are you using any premium plugins? And if so, what is your favorite?
I do not use any premium plugins, no.
Hey, yeah, you heard it here first, folks.
I use WordPress, I use Jetpack, I use lots of things that integrate commercial services, but nothing I've had to pay to download.
Okay. I want to talk to a question that came from our 1,000 requests to hey, Matt's going to be on the show. Holy cow, put some questions out there.
We move on, do you feel like does that make sense in terms of why plugins and themes are different, why we promote one and not the other?
I agree with it. I mean, I agree with your reasoning why they're different. I agree too. Like, you're right. Your theme is your theme and your plugins. Most sites have 10 plus plugins on it. Mm-hmm. I guess, and I also, it's refreshing to hear that it is an open topic and it comes up from time to time and there's a lot of reevaluating. From my perspective, I feel like there's a huge base of users that are not opposed to spending money, not just to get the theme, but they actually want that premium level of support. They want it, and they don't mind paying for it. But they don't know enough to find it, you know what I mean? So I think that's, from my perspective, that's something that I would like to see, you know, something coming from it. And you're right, it's hard to, like, this is what we're going to do, and it's going to be perfect. It's never perfect. It's tough to answer that question, but it's nice to know there's a dialogue. And maybe it's something a lot of the premium plugin, you know, developers can kind of get together and come up with a proposal on what they think would be the most effective to kind of help get the word out and integrate this stuff. Because I really think there's a huge base of users that they don't mind paying a little bit of money. They just don't know how to go about doing it. And then they hire some dev, you know, that they think is going to do a good job, and they totally, you know, destroy their site and nothing works. And they could have went and just bought, you know, Gravity Forms if they needed a really solid, you know, flexible contact form plugin and done it themselves. So I think that's kind of where I was coming from.
Go ahead.
Oh, the premium guys seem to be doing well without the promotion. You know, they're reaching out through venues like this.
Oh, they're doing very well from what I hear. They're doing all right. Yeah. I wonder if it's the users that can't find them. It's not so much they're not being successful. I mean, they're being very successful, or they wouldn't be premium plugins. I think it's the users that are having trouble finding them, but you know.
Well, I think there's some gray areas too when you look at some of these functionalities that maybe should be sitting in a plugin and kind of how that's defined, and all of a sudden they're getting integrated into themes. So where maybe they're at the consumer, there may be a level of confusion as to should they be looking at themes or should they be looking at plugins to get these rich functionalities that we're seeing built on top of WordPress.
Yeah, it's definitely a topic that we could go on all night long on. I think at the end of the day, it's nice to know that there is open dialogue, and hopefully it's something we can find something that kind of makes everybody happy. Because as a plugin developer, and I don't have really any premium plugins. We have some add-ons and stuff we sell, but nothing, you know, at the level of like Gravity Forms or something. But I'm friends with a lot of those developers, and I hear a lot of the what they're talking about, and they see themes like, or things like themes being promoted, and their stuff is nowhere to be found. So it kind of sucks because they feel like they're being left out.
Well, they're choosing not to participate in the open source community by having the code be closed. And so it's true, but it's their choice. They could put the code on WordPress.org tomorrow maybe charge for add-ons or something, and it would be something that's promoted.
Yeah, and I definitely respect that .org allows that to have that kind of free version, and then, you know, click here and you can check out our pro version. I absolutely respect that .org allows that, and I think it's great that they do, because you're right, there's a lot of plugins that the free ones are great for people, and that might be all they need, but they do have that pro option if they want to dish out.
And I also think it's important to distinguish that there's things that are huge and complicated and complex and could be their own software packages, like Gravity Forms, that are also in the free thing, like a WooCommerce or a WP Commerce. I mean, these are huge, complicated systems. Just because it's free doesn't mean it's not as good.
I agree with that sentiment 100%. Let's shift gears here for a second there, Matt. I'd love to get a question in from our listeners. Eric Lewis has a question on WordPress.org. And we're kind of talking about that a bit. He asks, we've seen some great improvements to WordPress.org recently, yet development seems scattered and top-down. Now, with the hubbub over marketplace favoritism, it brings to question, who should have oversight of the .org site? I believe it should be opened up for a more democratic model, perhaps with a more diverse representation from the community. That's an interesting take. I've heard this sentiment across various posts and stuff. I've seen some of your comments on different some thoughtful comments on different blog posts that you've put out over at least the last few months. What's your take on this? Because I can see where they're coming from.
Yeah, and this happens, or this discussion starts anytime, like, for example, the website does something people don't like.
Yeah.
Because what's the recourse, right? You don't like WordPress.org. You think, well, maybe if there was just, like, a voting system, or if we did a poll, then, like, you know, my voice could be heard, and or this thing could be different. We could promote premium plugins on the homepage. But that's never been how we've run it. And I've always been very explicit now for 10 years that WordPress.org is not my baby, but it's like it's a space, which is not explicitly not kind of a core dev thing or community thing, even though it operates in the best interest of that, or try to. So the best I can offer is to listen to all the arguments on all the sides and just try to make the best decision. Same thing I've done since day one. I don't think that, you know, making it designed by committee, or, you know, some sort of where we run a poll for every decision, or, you know, anything like that would necessarily improve the quality or the user experience. And ultimately, that's what I'm most focused on, making the best. That doesn't mean it'll always be right. I've never been always right in my entire life.
Say it ain't so. Come on, 007.
I'm sure we'll screw up. I don't think this is one of those screw-ups, but we've certainly had screw-ups in the past. But, you know, you learn from it, you pick up, and you move on.
I've heard in the past you mentioned that, you know, if people have ideas for .org, you know, send them in. You're always listening. Otto, great guy we've actually had on our previous show before, and we'll get him on this show eventually. Does a lot of the .org stuff and some other people as well. So, and he's always said, if you have ideas, send them in. So is there like an official, yeah. I've never actually heard if there's like an official way to do that. Like, is it literally just send you a screenshot on Twitter? I'm assuming that's probably not the right way to send in. So is there like an official channel where people can suggest ideas and, you know, maybe if, you know, maybe I have a mock-up of like the plugin detail page, I think would be really cool to show you and say, hey, maybe this will spark some cool ideas. Where would I send that?
You know, it's been tricky because every time we've had to try to have a public forum before, it gets a little bit flooded with people looking for support or, you know, WordPress.org, I think it's 6 or 7 million uniques per month. So, yes. I mean, it's a very, very high traffic site.
I'm on it every day.
So I would say if you're one of you guys or you're anyone listening to this show, you know who to contact. Contact me, contact Otto, contact Scott Riley. Pitch the idea. And the other thing we've been doing is I've been trying to open up the actual development. Although, you know, like I said, I'm not interested in this committee. I can't even say the word. I dislike it so much. Committee. Very, very open to more development on the site. And in fact, eventually open sourcing the site. So all the code will be just anyone could take a look at it. So say, Brad, you had a cool idea. You wouldn't even need to send up just a screenshot. You could maybe just send in a patch. That's ultimately where I'd like to get everything there. But yeah. So email all three of those. I mean, you have all
of them. So you're saying call Otto is what you're saying. Is that what I got out of that? Just give him a quick call on a cell phone.
No, well, I think it's buy him a beer.
Oh, buy him a beer goes a long way with Otto. I think that's a great idea. I mean, I love the idea of open sourcing it. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that would absolutely love to help submit patches, take some of that weight off of, you know, you three and whoever else might be working on it, you know, and say, hey, here's a cool patch I made that does XYZ, and you don't have to spend any time on it, neither does anybody on the team. So yeah, that's exciting to hear that it's headed that way.
Also increasing the hiring there. I mean, you saw Siobhan just joined the Audrey team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trying congrats to get some on her. More. She is awesome.
Absolutely.
I thought so too. Yeah, trying to get some more resources on it as well, just because, I mean, when you look at the amount that goes through just every week, the number of plugin reviews, theme reviews, support forum threads, like, it's overwhelming. Honestly, it could support a team of 30 or 40 just working on things on WordPress.org. So every hire is pretty leveraged there, and looking to grow that team as well, which, I mean, like you said, some of the hardest things, priorities.
And where should I send my resume? Just, you know, just in case, you know, just asking for a friend, yeah. Actually.
No, I'm asking for a friend too, Matt. Just wondering.
It's at the bottom of Audrey.co.
Hey, I see you working. One more question, if we may, is coming from our audience here, from Morten Rand Hendrickson. He's got a question for you. Matt says, with the divergent use of WordPress as a blogging platform, a framework, an enterprise platform, and a social network core, is it time to abandon the one-size-fit-all approach and start thinking of separate forks to better suit the needs of the individual user groups? Now, that ties into one of the questions that we had today, or off of a post that came out named The Dire State of WordPress, which really talks about some of the changes. It's link bait, in my opinion, and they've closed comments. So that's a real challenging way to get any feedback on your post. Just Dre's two cents. However, he's talking about, look, it's some awesome, cool stuff for end users, but you know, we've tried to make a content management system, which is really just some really cheesy patches to what is still considered a blogging platform. Where are we today? I mean, this is very different than it was 10 years ago.
I mean, what do you guys think there?
Well, I think it's kind of cruddy, his blog post. When I look at where we're at in terms of WordPress, I think WordPress is you. And the next person, and the next person. What is its need to you? Because it fulfills a lot of capabilities, a lot of business cases, a lot of fun blogging things, all sorts of cool stuff. What does it mean to you? It's like the question of wealth. Well, what does wealth mean to you? To me, it might be seeing my kid hit a home run. To the next person, it might have a bank account with 30 million. And I think that's what WordPress really drives home today in that community feel. It's bigger than all of us, and it is what it is to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, and if you look at some of the bullet points you list out, you know, especially around the code, one of the things that, and I think we'd all agree, why WordPress is so popular and has been popular and successful over the years is the idea of backwards compatibility. And a lot of other CMSs out there don't take it as seriously as WordPress and haven't, or don't do it at all, you know, for something like Drupal. That they obviously maintain the current version for backwards compatibility, but the next major release, there's no guarantee anything's going to work in it. And I think that is what, as a developer, has frustrated the hell out of me on other platforms before I found WordPress, because if I build something and I do it how it's supposed to be done at the time, and then a year from now I have to rebuild the entire thing from scratch, like, how can I build a business around that? Or how can I even use that for myself? Because it's entirely frustrating. So I think you're going to find inconsistencies in code. You're going to find some stuff that isn't flawless, because some of that stuff kind of has to stay there, or else there's going to be problems. And I think just in the past year and a half, a lot of that, in my opinion, has gotten cleaned up. You know, we have the deprecated file, so we can move a lot of that crap in there and make it prettier. Mm-hmm. There's still some stuff that I don't think is as clean as it could be, but I mean, I think that's where a lot of spaghetti code stuff comes from. And you see this on, I mean, Hacker News, there's a discussion on this. But I mean, that's my take on it. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, well, it's kind of, I guess we jumped ahead to two things, talking about that blog post, which I remember reading now, and the question. To the question about should there be different forks for different use cases of WordPress, I don't think so, because I'm not sure What would be better about that? Does that make sense?
Well, the argument's made that it's simplicity from where it stems from really takes away from that blogging piece. At least that's some of what I've seen. There's this new platform with Leaflets, Get Back to Blogging. There's people really talking about that simple kind of approach versus the all-encompassing everything. I say disable what you don't need because that's what it lets you do. It's kind of awesome.
I like the idea of like installation profiles. I think Drupal does a pretty good job of this. So if you're installing, if you know you're setting up an e-commerce site, you install that profile and it installs kind of a lot of the modules and stuff you need to have an e-commerce site. It would be nice if WordPress had that. So, you know, when you set up the site, what type of site do you want? I want a blog. It just kind of sets up a blog and hides the stuff you really don't need. Or I want a CMS or I want an e-commerce. You know, I think it, I don't know if that belongs in core. I could see that easily being a plugin. Or an add-on plugin you pull down with core, but I don't think forking WordPress is the way to go. That all that's going to do is kind of segment WordPress. I mean, that's kind of like taking what happened in 3.0 and like back, you know, going backwards, like breaking out into two different projects with MU. You know, when MU went into core, that was like the happiest day of my life because I was doing a lot of MU stuff. So it was like it's a core, yes, like it's just going to work. Yeah. So having like five different forks of WordPress to do different things, I think is a terrible idea.
I mean, we kind of tried some of this before, and it was tough with Backpress, MU. It was tough to keep them all in sync. I mean, even BBPress, which was on its own code base before, mm-hmm. which was kind of like a forms. We're now rolling it in to be a plugin, and it's working a lot better, and people like it a lot better. I think the problem becomes that it's really just a question of where you draw the line. And smart people might disagree on where you draw that line. You know, we've, as a community, we've decided that, you know, the ability to have both blog posts and pages is something that pretty much everyone in the world is going to want to do. You know, maybe 99% of their stuff is a blog, but they're going to want that about page, or they're going to want that, you know, contact me page, and so there's going to be that button there. That changes over time. I mean, for example, links is a great example. Like, we used to have this top-level menu for essentially managing a blog role. You install WordPress today, and it's not there anymore. There's actually lots of examples of that, of things we've been streamlining in every single release. Just when we see something, you know, I think it's not bad to put things in experimentally, but if we see it not getting a ton of use a year or two down the road, let's take it back out, move it to a plugin. And that has worked well. So that dire state of WordPress thing, I don't think it was link bait. I just felt like he was a little bit misinformed. I wanted to take that
question. Can I just say that you should absolutely get into politics? Because that's like that's the best answer you can give without pissing anybody off. That's great. Dre and I are both like, screw him. And you're like, no, he's just misinformed.
You don't think I'm already not in politics?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's I was reading it. For example, he said, "You know, WordPress's approach just isn't going to be scalable." I was like, "Well, at what point does it become scalable? At 50 million blogs on WordPress.com? 60 million? Like, what's the line? I don't think that word means what you think it does."
Well, if comments were enabled, we can actually put the download counter up. I'm just saying.
I feel like what happens a lot. And this isn't, and it doesn't mean he's wrong. It's just that developers, especially, go through phases where they feel like something is the right way of doing things. And occasionally, especially if you first learn something, it's almost like it's not unlike a religion. Like you feel like this is the only right way to do things. Like if something doesn't follow a strict MVC model, it just I can't look at it. It drives me nuts. If it doesn't use a framework like Symfony or Zend that I'm used to, it drives me nuts. And I completely understand that. I've completely felt like that at times in my development career. But it's also worth looking at the history of even just the past 10 years, what that must-use framework or approach has changed 4 or 5 times over the past 10 years. The must-use language has changed. And so where it comes back to me is just very pragmatic. Sure, I love Python. I love Node. But, I mean, to run WordPress in as many places as it does, PHP is the best. I mean, it's not like, oh, it's better for this. It actually is the best thing we could possibly use. If we're starting WordPress today and wanting to get it as widely distributed as possible, I would choose PHP all over again.
So how does that work in terms of the transition into more JavaScript-based or enriched experience with WordPress?
Backbone.
Well, that just comes back to being pragmatic. So it's, well, should we throw out the whole thing and just rewrite it from scratch because we're annoyed at PHP, it's not moving fast enough, or objects are difficult below 5.4, you know? And I think people assume that because we don't do certain things that we don't know they exist or that we're not smart enough to do. When, as you guys know, like WordPress developers are some of the best developers I've seen in the world. Some of my colleagues are automatic. I mean, I'd put them against any developer at Twitter or Facebook or any of these places. It's just a choice. So for refactoring, we refactor a bit every single release. You know, how WP Query got some love recently or any of these things. Often we might take a more object-oriented approach, sometimes not. When adding a major new feature, we took sort of a backbone JavaScript approach for the new media gallery. It worked great. Are we going to, you know, take 2 years and rewrite WordPress from scratch? No. But are we going to do a little bit with every single release, 2 or 3 times a year? Absolutely. And we'll look back at the, you know, Dradcast 1007.
Now we're talking.
10 years from now.
Did you just commit to coming back?
Mike? Yeah, we should. We should book you now.
Yes, please. I put it on my calendar. I'll try to be in a country with better bandwidth. We'll say, wow, you know, WordPress is 99% JavaScript now, and we'll probably be talking about that, how JavaScript's all old and we should be using something different.
No, and that's exciting. I mean, for me to kind of see that evolution, right? That iterative cycle and that continued growth through that is impressive to me. It's one of the things that excites me. I'm able to kind of see that from beginning to end. What excites you most about WordPress's future? I mean, because to me, damn, it's bright. It is really, really bright.
It's hard to choose, to be honest. yeah, I've got my finger in 10 different pies at any given moment, and you know, whichever one I'm working on at the time is the most exciting. Mobile apps, I think, are huge, and there's some really exciting stuff happening with the mobile apps right now. I'm excited about WordPress.com's reader. I mean, I know it's not strictly WordPress, but when you look at just the engagement metrics and the uses metrics of when people use the reader and how it gets them to blog more and interact more and gets also them more engagement, like more comments and things, I mean, that's exciting. I mean, that's, as bloggers, what could we more want? And no longer am I sort of just another, you know, generic profile on Facebook, but now people are actually coming to my site and interacting with, you know, the stuff that I love. So any of those, you could pick any one of them and I could talk about them for 30 minutes.
What, along the same lines, you know, WordPress is hitting the 10th anniversary. Do you think WordPress will be around 10 years from now? Because, I mean, if you look back 10 years from today, a lot of the major platforms are either dead or dying, even in the open source world. I mean, .NET Nuke, ugh, that's a hard one to say, .NET Nuke. That was a really popular one 10 years ago, and now it's still around, but it's not like it was. You know, a lot of people shifted off that. Do you think WordPress will be out there in 10 years and as strong and popular, more popular? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think if us three have anything to say about it, it will.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
But we're each kind of tackling different parts of the problem. Is it going to be easy? No. Will it happen automatically? No. We're going to have to work harder than ever. But I think that, you know, we're at 17% now. I could imagine a future where WordPress is the majority of all websites. Or even beyond that, 60, 70%. There's have WordPress under the hood. When you think about it, we're kind of building a web operating system. We're building something that other people can build on. And it's open source to the core, and it's collaborative, and has this great community. It's an open source community that's inclusive of women. Like, we're creating our own little slice of the web and saying, you know what, it can be better than what's currently out there. And let's just do it.
You know what, let's just do it. I'm down with that.
I've been here, Corner, man. You know, I'm a big proponent for, you know, WordPress as an app framework. I'm actually presenting on that at WordCamp Miami. Shout out to Miami. I'll be there and what a week. I better start on that. But it's, last minute, Brad. But it's, we're doing some really cool stuff. A lot of other people are doing some really cool stuff, really thinking outside of the box with WordPress. I mean, I love showing somebody something that is powered by WordPress that you would never guess, especially if it's someone that works in WordPress every day. You know, like, I've showed you stuff. I've showed Dre stuff. I showed other people stuff. And like, oh, yeah, that's cool. You did an iPad app or iPhone app. And it's like, yeah, that's all WordPress. They're like, what? No.
You know, I talk about that almost every time I do a public appearance on WordPress. I talk about your YMCA app.
I love it. I have more apps to show you. We should, let me know next time you're on the East Coast. But yeah, I think, honestly, in my opinion, that and the mobile stuff that you talked about are the next big wave, and I think you'll agree. I've heard you mention it a lot of times. So I like what you said. WordPress as a web operating system, that sums it up for me as far as where I see WordPress heading and where it already kind of is. You know, I think it's just getting people's mindset to understand it that way.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And also, we should recognize that there'll always be some developers that just want to do it a different way. Mm-hmm. And so we're never going to please everyone. I think the key is just making the folks who are doing it with WordPress have the best resources, the best community, and also the best educated of any other community out there.
I want to end that with saying that we should also add the best tacos. That's got to be in there.
That's when we go to San Diego, right?
Absolutely, which I look forward to having you back here soon. I want to move into this week's pressing topics, which we've kind of covered some of them already, but we've got a couple other areas that I want to touch on before we move on to the last portion of the show here with the Bart Tricks. So today's pressing topics is brought to you by Maintain, 24/7 security monitoring, backups, updates, and professional WordPress support services on any web host. Maintain.com, that's MAINTAINN.com. Go check them out. So we talked a little bit about the dire state of WordPress. Exciting to kind of hear your take on that. And unfortunately, he's misinformed with no comments on his site. Did you feel that to be a stickler today? Because it was for me. Let's talk a little bit about the post released by Envato, 100% GPL option now available. You were down there with 80 from WooThemes. They have now mm-hmm. started selling their themes or their products on Envato. This was interesting, kind of how this all came about. At the point where we're at now, how are you really feeling about this whole thing? Are the folks that have been involved to date and that may be switching their licensing to GPL and still selling on ThemeForest from Envato, are they going to be welcome back at WordCamps?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was part of the fun. I also met with the Obox guys were here. And they said, you know, as soon as they saw the announcement, they went through and checked the box for all of their themes. I think it's beautiful. Is it the ideal? No, I think Envato should be 100% GPL. And that's ultimately the only things we're going to promote from WordPress.org.
Sure.
But, you know, giving developers the choice to you know, be part of the WordPress community and choose GPL for the license, I think was absolutely just the bare minimum and the most important thing they could do. So cheers to them as well. Like, it's been talked about for years. I'm thrilled to see it now available for theme developers.
That's a big change. I mean, so the blog post that came out from it and then them subsequently stepping into doing a survey, kind of seeing where that fit, and then, you know, taking that data and making some pretty major changes into their long-term stance into now being able to offer full GPL licensing is a huge win. I would like to see a lot of folks transition their current licenses that are using ThemeForest into the GPL stance. But what's exciting is we've actually seen a stink kind of build up about this is from the beginning, your stance, when this all came about in the last couple of months, you said, look, if you find me an alternative that is offering 100% GPL licensed themes, I will mm-hmm. feature you on the front page of WordPress.org. Mm-hmm. And man, you're a man of your word, and sure as hell you did that. So the challenge there that it raised the stink, and it seems like everything around you, whether it's awesome, whether it's not people thinking that it's not. You catch wind and people just they throw their stuff at you, man. Whatever sticks. Let's see what we could yell at Matt about today.
Drama press.
Yeah. So what seems to be on there right now is one marketplace, and I think that's caused some challenges for folks, especially some of the theme providers and shops out there going, well, how come no one else is featured? How come mm-hmm. our 100% GPL products that as a theme shop aren't going up there and there's no ads for us up there? What happens next?
There are ads for the 100% GPL commercial theme guys on the themes page, and that's been there for years now. Mm-hmm. So we've always had that. I think that You know, it's one marketplace for now. I hope that it's more in the future, and that'll rotate whenever there's more than one. I would love for the theme developers to list their themes on these open marketplaces, especially because these newer guys have actually some pretty attractive terms when you compare them to sort of the entrenched players out there. So, you know, there's really no downside to listing your themes in an incremental place. And I would love to see these sort of take off because ultimately, it's kind of like if someone in your family came to you and said, like, what CMS should I use or ask for your advice. That's how I feel about visitors to WordPress.org. They're like family members I just haven't met yet that are asking me, like, where should I go to get something? And I want to send them someplace that I know will protect their freedoms the same way WordPress software does, because that's what I believe in. It's what the WordPress community believes in. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're doing this 100% GPL thing. You know, should we promote some of the theme guys through there, maybe rotate that? I'm actually open to that. For now, I mean, I said we were going to do the marketplaces. I wanted to give that at least a few more months, maybe give some other guys a chance to get in there, because it's not something you could just create on the turn of a dime. Turn on a dime, something like that.
Well, you asked me, I screw up about every quote. So it's okay.
I'm shocked Creative Market did it so quickly. Like, that was impressive on their end. But, you know, I'd love to get a few more guys in there and support them.
You know, well, there's just, I think that there's a lot of theme shops out there doing it right. And that's exciting to see. I absolutely agree with your sentiment about them kind of pushing out. You know, that creates some good market opportunities for them that maybe in some audiences that they haven't been involved with before, or that just that they may be reaching into areas that just they haven't had visibility into before. So if they're finding marketplaces that are doing it the right way, I see no reason or no downside to doing that. So I agree with you on that.
Did kind of going back to the Advato, I'm curious. I know Carlos kind of put out a survey. Did you talk with him at any point, you know, before or after the survey? Did you guys ever have a one-on-one kind of talk about your concerns and the reason why you thought it should be GPL? Because I know it was a big decision for them, and they kind of polled their users. And I know even Carl mentioned our chat room, there's still a lot of misconceptions around the GPL just with their sellers. They don't quite understand the GPL. And I think, like a lot of people, when they first hear about it, they think, oh, everyone's just going to steal my crap and I'm not going to make any money, right? That's what everyone just assumes. So I'm curious, were there any kind of back-channel conversations going on? Did he come to you to talk about the GPL and how it's kind of worked with some other businesses that you know of or any of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I actually spent a couple hours with a few of the head and Vado folks at Pressnomics.
I was going to ask if you were there, because he gave a great presentation. I mean, he was one of the better ones that I saw at the event, so he was a pretty cool guy.
I mean, what's great about that entire family, you know, the leadership at Envato, is that they're principal folks, and they do what they believe is right. And so I think even if that survey had been 99% people not wanting the GPL, I think that they, in their hearts, knew it was the right thing to do, and they would have done it anyway. I think they just... My guess, again, I don't have any inside information here. They just want to gauge, like, what impact would it have. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that most people don't mind it, certainly don't mind the choice for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like it, just don't select it, right? I mean...
Exactly. So if that helps speed up their implementation, which I know is something they were talking about even a few years before the survey, that's fantastic. But honestly, I believe that they would have done it anyway. Because yeah, they do what they think is right.
He seems like a pretty cool guy. I mean, I remember he got on stage and showed us, was showing kind of slides of where Envato started. And their first office was literally a converted, like, restroom in the basement of this facility or the parents' house or something. So anytime you know a company starts kind of in the bathroom and kind of works their way up to where they're at now, you know they're probably pretty humble and very appreciative of their growth and their community. So that's I definitely am glad they did that. I think it doesn't hurt anybody if you want to do it. We're all GPL fans here, so yep. We absolutely support it. But if you're absolutely against it, then don't do it, right? So yeah, definitely hats off to them for doing that.
It's really just giving people the choice to be part of the WordPress community or not, because that's sort of a table stakes for the WordPress community. It's being 100% GPL, so you know, not requiring people to have to choose between, you know, being part of ThemeForest or being part of WordPress.
Now, does that open the door for Envato too? Because I know they were, you know, since they kind of do non-GPL stuff, they can't sponsor things at WordCamps. Is that still true? Because which is they're not 100%. Yeah. Right, okay.
I would love to have them involved more.
So here's my kind of take on that. This is nothing new, right? So there's certain areas that I think people get maybe or misinterpret or misunderstand, but this is nothing new. This is not a new standing order that came down yesterday that said, damn it, you're not going because you're not doing what our whole philosophy has been around for 10 years. That's been, my challenge with certain folks, and they come in and they interject and they get pissed off and I want it this way and it's community, but this community was built a certain way and this community has principles and it's built off of that. It's been nurtured and grown off of that. This is not a new revelation. So adhere to that, grow with it, and all we shall prosper, right? I mean, that's kind of my take on it.
Preach on, Dre.
Preach on, Brother Dre.
That was biblical.
Oh, man, I think we just got
to sign me up.
We just got
to saw Matt on the GPL. That's good.
So yeah. Can I set you on something else there? listen, WordCamp San Diego was this last week, and I had the opportunity to be invited out to speak on Saturday on security, which I love to do. But
how was it?
I'm sorry?
How was the WordCamp?
It was brilliant. So there was around 300 folks. It was at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law, which is a new facility, very technology driven. It was an amazing event. Sunday, which is what really kind of piqued my interest going into it because it was very different than the ones that I've helped organize over the years, was it changed from that typical developer day into a business day. And there were six or seven topics sessions that were held for the day, and there was well over 100 people show up for day two, which I've been to a lot of WordCamps. I mean, I don't know, 40 WordCamps maybe over the last few years.
Well, when you say a lot and you're talking to Matt, that's not a lot.
Well, relative to Matt, I get that. But when you look at Dev Day, which is typically a more just maybe informal kind of gathering of folks hacking core and doing all sorts of fun stuff, from a developer perspective, this was all business oriented, and I think it was a huge hit. I was impressed. It was by far one of the funnest second days or Sundays of a WordCamp weekend I've ever been to. I know that Miami's kind of bringing this on board, and another couple camps are kind of following suit. I think that historically we've had some issues maybe growing WordPress on the business side because we've got a lot of very creative development-oriented folks, but maybe lack on the business side. I see the Pressnomics thing kind of moving, and I think that was a great event, and I think it's general progression. You know, it's a progression that we need to continue seeing. Now biz days maybe a new trend for WordCamps. Do you see that continuing to grow? What's your take on that?
Well, I haven't been to one yet. I'd like to check it out. I think that would be definitely very cool. Maybe not for every WordCamp, but for some of them. Maybe, you know, a lot of these things, maybe it's just one of those things we assume is going to be a track down the line. You know, there's sort of a user track, a developer track, and a business track. I mean, I know lots of developers that probably would have been bored out of their mind that day. You know? Not everyone's trying to do a startup or, you know, have employees or things like that. And sure. That's okay. I think it's going to be one of those challenges, just like we have with the software, being all things to all people, events being all things to all people. And I like the specialization, especially when it's branded, right? Because a WordCamp is kind of a broad topic.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are more kind of social media marketing focused, which a lot of people love. It's not my cup of tea, but, you know, a lot of people are really into that. Some of them are more blogging focused. I get fast, like how to be a better writer, how to be a better photographer. All these are pretty cool topics. It just, for me, I just want to see it done well. You know, let's talk about Elvis quilts, but let's make it the best darn Elvis quilt, you know, presentation ever at a WordCamp or otherwise. And that's my biggest hope and concern with WordCamps, just that, you know, we have that feedback loop for organizers, for speakers, that just allows them to continue improving, making it better every year.
Make.wordpress.org for anybody interested in getting more information on the stuff that revolve. You know, that if you want to get involved with anything from developing on core or helping out with the handbooks, that's the place to go. Very good to hear there. Hey, look, sponsor segment. We're running here into an hour now, so I don't want to take up too much of your time here, Matt. You've been graceful enough to join us for an hour. So,
I bet that bat's calling your name.
Yeah, sleepy time, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm far away, so. You know, I pounded 3 Red Bulls right before this.
Nice.
You know what? Me too. Woo!
All right, let's sponsor segment. Episode brought to you by Gravity Forms. Gravity Forms 1.7 is coming soon. It has 2 big features, with the both very, very cool. We have the notifications and confirmations. Prior to 1.7, you can only have one. And 1.7, you can have as many as you want. So you can set up, you know, if someone submits a form based on what they select and what they're doing, you could give them a special message, direct them to a special page, you know, whatever it is you want to do based on their selections. Really, really cool. If you're a current Gravity Forms customer, you get it for free. It's already in beta. You can go download it and play with it, see if you like it. If you're not, I don't know why. You need to head over to Gravity Forms and check it out and buy it, because it's a plugin that I swear by. I use it on every site. I use it probably daily. So gravityforms.com.
Chickity check. All right, all right. Well, next segment here, we're going to talk bar tricks. You got a bar trick going on over there, Brad?
No.
Me neither.
I'm working on it.
Oh, boy. Well, this segment, Matt, is where we usually give our tip of the week. You're more than welcome to talk about anything that's kind of up in there for you, whether it's a plug-in, whether it's you're hiring 40 new people and you need Brad and my resume, whatever works best for you.
Wait, Matt, now didn't you – I happened to see a tweet the other day that was a GitHub repo, and then you said, oops, I don't think it's live yet. You know, feel free to spill the beans to the, you know, 2 people that are listening tonight if you'd like to.
Would you guys like a little preview?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't want to give it all away, but I'll sort of set up a problem that this mystery GitHub repo might be an answer to. A lot of the focus on WordPress performance so far has been around caching, right? Sort of that back cache, super cache, everything. Basically taking the output of the page and saving it. If you look at the actual overhead, like if you profile a WordPress request, you'll see a lot of the, just the startup time is just loading all the code. You can get 100, 200, maybe even 300 milliseconds, even with an opcode cache. I'm just kind of spinning the thing up, starting the engine, if you will. And that happens for every single request. And I'll leave it at that.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm sorry. Was that a preview or was that just a straight tease? Because that's kind of what...
Man, Matt's got stripper poles in the background. He's teasing. That's horrible.
I thought he was about to screen share or something.
Yeah. I'm like, yes, do it. No.
Okay. Well, I would assume when you love it. I would assume we'll expect something shortly out there that we can...
No, that's awesome. Oh, man.
It's always... Yeah. I mean, at Automatic, we're always trying to push the state of the art with WordPress, and we run as many of these things as anyone else in the world. And so, yeah, as soon as we figure something out, we're going to share it with the rest of the world. That's Love kind it. Of our motto.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. Hey, Brad, where are you at, brother? You got something for us?
Actually, I have a bar trick, and it's more kind of a plug-in / question for Matt. And I want to plug WordSesh, which is coming up April 13th. And, Matt, I don't know if I've actually – maybe you've mentioned I just missed it, but have you seen WordSesh in the schedule and kind of this online WordPress conference, and what are your thoughts behind it?
I think it sounds pretty cool. Like, I can't wait to see how it goes.
Ditto. It's the lineup is, I mean, if this was a WordCamp, I'd be there in a heartbeat, because it really is kind of a who's who of amazing speakers, and the fact that it's online, it will be freely available. Scott Baskard is basically organizing the whole thing. I'm kind of helping where I can, but I'm not taking any credit. It's all him. But the fact that it's all online, everything will be basically what we're doing right now through Google Hangout. We'll stream to YouTube, be recorded, be available afterwards. I mean, is this the future of WordCamps? I mean, obviously getting together is awesome, but this I don't want to say easy, because there is a little work involved, but compared to a WordCamp, it's easy, and it's very, very low cost, really no cost. It's just lining people up.
Well, you see this at meetups involved already, right? We're doing this at meetups. I mean, I presented at the meetup for Philadelphia last week. I mean, I've done a couple like that where we're getting on a Skype call or what have you, and it's just a cool way to bring folks in, you know, to chat with the local community.
Yeah, it's not quite as cool as being there.
Of course.
But, you know, I think that from the very day one, WordPress has been distributed. you know, just like many other open source projects. I think the future is actually going to be 300 of those little, you know, iPad robots in a warehouse somewhere, and just a different 300 people log in for every weekend, and that'll be the camp.
That would be awesome.
A little creepy, but yes, awesome.
Yeah, that's wordsesh.org. I don't know, like, my first kind of virtual WordCamp was San Francisco last year, live streamed. I actually went out at lunch and got barbecue, and there was a group of us in a chat room, just, you know, all the people watching live stream just chatting. So, very cool. Check it out, wordsesh.org, and it is, again, April 13th, but remember that's UTC, so in the U.S., it will actually start Friday night, so just keep that in mind. Go to wordsesh.org, submit your email, and the Dradcast is actually kicking that one off. So.
Oh, yes, we are. It's going to be delicious. I've got a quick self-promotion here on my bar trick. We just launched a new...
Sorry. I forgot I unmuted myself. Do you mind if I do a quick plug? I have a guest here.
Plug away, please.
I'd like to introduce you guys to Michelle.
Hello. Hey,
Michelle.
Can you hear her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here.
Hello.
Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Hello there.
Hi.
Michelle, a WordPress blogger. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so we run a website called memeburn.com, which is based on WordPress. And it's Africa's tech news site, and we write a lot about emerging markets, emerging technology, startups, and social media and technology. We call it Africa's tech.
What was the URL again, so we can get that?
Memeburn, M-E-M-E, burn, as in to burn a meme, .com.
Ah, got it.
I just make sure to add that. Michelle is our unofficial sponsor, at least of me tonight, because without her, I wouldn't have been able to join. So I just wanted to do a thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you for having him on. We wouldn't have been able to really work it this direction without you. So appreciative of your efforts there. Thank you.
We're at the end of it, so we're doing the plugs and everything. We'll get back to it. Jerry, what's coming up next?
Awesome.
Preventive website security in the cloud. Oftentimes, we look through security from a reactive perspective, and one of the things we're trying to change at security is the way that people really think about that from a more strategic perspective, beginning to end. That's why we're launching Cloud Proxy, which is a web application firewall that includes virtual web site patching and hardening, along with cloud intrusion prevention systems and other malicious traffic filtering. Stop it before it gets to the site with Cloud Proxy. Go ahead and check us out at cloudproxy.security.net. Now,
it's like a prophylactic for your blog.
It's straight up prophylactic.
That's one way to advertise it.
Yeah, it's the Jimmy hat of the web. That just happened. All right.
Wow.
I expect to see that tagline on this site pretty soon. It's a little bit enterprisey right now. You got to spice it up.
Yeah. I want a t-shirt.
Oh, man. I don't even know where to go with that. That's awesome. What I do know is that we've got some events coming up. We talked about one of them, WordSesh, coming up April 13th. But before that, we got WordCamp Miami, which is going to be amazing. We've got a lot of great speakers lined up from what it looks like. Brad, I think that you're going to be attending and speaking as well.
I will.
I know that Tony's headed down there, so we'll get some of that security action going, maybe some Gangnam style. they put on a great event, so I'm excited to see kind of that WordCamp, how it handles the load this year. I think that they're expecting quite a few folks, so that's it's really good news to see that and it growing. WordSesh coming up April 13th. We're kicking that off here from the Dragcast. But San Francisco was just announced, Matt. This is good. I can't wait. So that's one of the big ones that we look forward to every year. Any exciting stuff, changes that we should be expecting? It's usually a huge, huge event, and exciting to see and interact with everybody. Yeah.
You know, we try something a little bit different every year. It's just like software. You iterate with every event, and you try to do it. This will be, goodness, our 7th, 8th year? I don't even know. So we'll see. The goal is, for me, it's kind of like the family reunion. I just want to get some of my favorite speakers I've seen throughout the year. I always try to bring in sort of someone not from the WordPress community, a speaker or two from there that I think will help expand our minds a little bit. And then there's also a great, great team involved with that this year. You know, we've expanded that a little bit, including for speaker selection. So it'll be the first time that there's a team working on that as well. And, you know, as you know, when community gets involved, everything gets better.
I love it. I'm excited to be there again this year. So
yes, the tickets, I will be there.
I know the tickets were dispersed a little differently last year, so that was interesting to kind of see how that all went. What's exciting was that last year I get an email saying, "Hey, you've been a .org member for like ever. We're going to give you a special kind of link to go get your." When it was closed off to the general public, they sent me a link and offered me the ability to get a ticket, being a longstanding member of the community. And I thought that was a really neat way to approach community members, and I hope to see stuff like that come from it. The dates are July 26th and the 27th of this year, plus a developer hack day on the 28th. It'll be at the Mission Bay Conference Center. Exciting times. If you haven't been before and you're part of the WordPress community and you want to get together with the WordPress community, this is the place to be. So very exciting. All right. Well, Brad, you got any closing words?
That's all I have, Matt. Thanks, man. I mean, geez, coming in at 2 in the morning until past 3. I mean, hats off. I'm really excited that you made it. I know everybody in the chat room, everybody listening, everybody that will listen is excited to hear from you. So love it, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming.
I wouldn't have missed it for the world. I mean, it's always fun to chat with you guys.
it is a true pleasure.
No, I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Look forward to seeing you, Matt. Thanks again. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dradcast. This one is 007 with Matt Mullenweg, folks. thanks for listening in, and that's the Dradcast.
Pow, pow, pow.
Bond. James Bond.
Dread.